Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. It's my pleasure to share this revelation with you. I've entitled, See Yourself Healed. Our healing is an accomplished fact, but in order for us to receive healing, we must change how we see ourselves. For example, if you've suffered with a debilitating disease for years, that sickness has almost assuredly painted a picture on the inside of you of sickness and disease and death. Most likely, you don't ever see yourself getting healed. That picture inside of you must change. This is also true if you're suffering from a short-term illness. You must see yourself healed on the inside before you will see yourself healed on the outside. Allow God's Word to paint a picture of your healing and receive healing today. I hope this message. I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing, what a pleasure it is to be able to study your word, to share the revelation that you've given me with other people. I thank you, Father, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit, the true teacher. Holy Ghost, we welcome you and invite you tonight to teach us, to enlighten the word, to bring revelation to our hearts. We thank you for it. And I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the revelation knowledge that you've given me and for the ability to share these truths with other people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was preparing to teach this evening, the enemy was trying to put something on me. And so we're going to switch, go in a little bit different direction and just talk about healing tonight. Because when I come under attack and it's a physical attack, I like to just stick it right in the devil's face, to be honest with you. Just stick it right in his eye. And the best way to do that, that I know of, is to talk about healing. Talk about the victory that's ours. We are victorious. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and we say so. Glory to God. And I am redeemed from sickness and disease and poverty and all of the effects of the curse, and so are you. That's right, you are too. If you're born again and you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you are redeemed, you're free. And you might say, but I don't feel that way. Well, the truth of the matter is that you are, no matter how you feel. We've got to stop going by how we feel. Because feelings have nothing to do with the truth. The truth is that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed, and we are healed now. It is an accomplished fact. And it's up to us, each one of us individually, to receive what Jesus has done for us. Now, just like anything else in the kingdom of God, nothing's automatic. It has to be received by faith, just like when you were born again. You know, the born again experience was made available to you. It was there for the taking. But until you released your faith and believed in the promises of God, believed and received the redemption in Christ Jesus, until you did it and believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth, until that happened, you were lost as a goose in a snowstorm. But the moment that you said, yes, Jesus, the light came on, you were born again, faith was released, glory to God, and you became a child of the living God. But what had to happen first? You had to hear the word. You had to believe and release your faith in the promises of God. You had to believe what God said. No matter how you felt about it, no matter what your physical body might have, how it may have felt, or what you may have thought in your mind. It's what you believed in your heart that matters. Your head at times may fight you, particularly when you have sickness or disease attacking your body. Your head may try to tell you this is bad, and then it goes through all of the different possibilities for what this ache or this pain could be originating from. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And if you don't do something about it, if you don't get it treated, this could happen to you. And what is happening? All of these pictures in your mind, the imagination is working in the wrong direction. And that's bad. It's painting an image on the inside of you of what? Victory? No. Defeat, death, destruction. If you just let yourself, if you just kind of relax and you let your mind just wander and go the direction it wants to go, have you ever noticed that it tends to go in a negative direction? And it has help with that. The enemy gives all kind of help. He gives all kind of pictures of your defeat, pictures of your body racked with pain, some debilitating disease. And if you allow yourself, you will continue to think on those same defeating thoughts. And it creates a picture on the inside of you that is like it's in concrete. That picture of defeat, it's cemented on the inside of you. And if you would try it and release your faith, it's almost impossible. Why? It's because you've meditated on the lies of the enemy. And he has convinced you that the symptoms are more real than the truth of God's word. Symptoms come, symptoms go. Symptoms are of this natural world. What I propose to you is this: the truth of God's word is supernatural. It's not of this world. It will change and cause the things of this carnal natural world to change. As if you'll take your stand on God's word, confess his word with your mouth, believe his word in your heart, you'll see the fruit of it. It won't happen automatically, and it generally will take some effort on your part. And what is the effort? Well, a lot of times that effort is to cast down those thoughts that the enemy bombards your mind with. Like, it's almost like a machine gun, quite honestly. As soon as the one bullet flies, and then one bullet right after it, and one right after that, and one right after that, and all you can see is defeat. How do you know, Mark? Oh my goodness, I have been in that place so many times, where there's something that is wrong in my body. It's at some time in the past, something was wrong in my body, and the symptom was pain and discomfort, and you just know, hey, there's something wrong here. Something's not right. So what did you do, Mark? Did you run to the doctor? Well, you know, God's healed me, and I've received my healing so many times that I almost feel like I would be letting myself down if I just up and ran to the doctor. There's nothing wrong with it. Praise God. If that's where a person's faith level is, by all means, get in the car and go to the doctor. But if you have grabbed hold of the promises of God's word and see that Jesus Christ has redeemed you from sickness and disease, and that it has no part in your body, and you see that and believe it in your heart, and you receive that promise, and your body is healed, and that happens time and time again, I tell you what, you can reach a place that the sickness may knock on the door and try to get in and try to convince you that you're sick. But when you know that you know that you know that you're the redeemed of the Lord, when you know that, sickness is on the outside trying to get on the inside. Now, at times, it may be very convincing, and it may present you with symptoms that are very convincing that it's on the inside. But if you know who you are and you have this revelation on the inside of you, as long as you refuse to turn loose of the truth, those symptoms are only there and for just a brief period of time until that devil decides he's done getting his brains beat in. Because you're sitting there confessing the word, thanking God for your healing. You know, maybe the symptoms might be persisting, but bless God, I am want to thank God that I am healed by Jesus' stripes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, I'm healed. Hallelujah. And you cough a little bit, and you keep thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. Hey, that's not going to take you forever to get your healing if you're going to do that. What happens is people don't do that. They'll try it for a little bit, and then they'll stop. And you can't. This is not something that you try. This is something that you do. There's a big difference between trying and doing. This is living this way, living the life of faith in God's word and seeing the promises of God manifesting in your life is something that it takes effort, and there's a standing but the standing isn't forever either. But there's things that we're going to have to be convinced of in our hearts, that God's word will never change. That God and His Word will never change. That what He said in His Word is mine. No matter how it looks or how I feel, it's mine. These are things that we have to be convinced of, to the point that no matter how it looks on the outside, no matter how the symptoms or how my body is looking, I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that what God's word said is true and it's working in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So as I was thinking about what direction, since we are going to talk about healing tonight, how do you want to start, Lord? Well, since we've been talking about fasting a little bit, I felt like he wanted us to take a look at Isaiah 58, just to notice a couple of words here in regard to fasting and some of the benefits of it. I think we talked about this previously in the lesson, Is Not This the Fast? And that's taken from Isaiah 58, verse 6. So let's pick it up there. This is a prophecy talking about fasting. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Now that I want to draw your attention to those words, and to let the oppressed go free. All right, hold on to that in your mind just for a minute and drop down to verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. So here is a, beyond a shadow of a doubt, a promise from God's word regarding fasting that your health will spring forth speedily. Hallelujah. That's good news. Now, this word oppressed, oppression. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This is going to tell us Peter was talking here at Cornelius' house. And he mentions here in the 38th verse about Jesus, and he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. If there's any doubt or any question in your mind as to where sickness and disease comes from, ultimately it originates from the devil, and it is an oppression. And what did going back to Isaiah 58, what were we told in Isaiah 58? To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. The benefits of fasting. Fasting will help you in this area. And this oppression, it's not of God, it's of the enemy. And we see where it says the oppressed go free and that your health will spring forth speedily. And then we see in Acts 10:38 that those that are oppressed of the devil were the people that Jesus healed. Oppression in sickness is of the devil. And get that straight in your mind. It's not God. God's not making you sick. And he's not withholding healing for one second. You know, there's some people that believe, well, there's a timing with God's healing. The timing was 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross and redeemed us. Healing became ours, an accomplished fact. There's no time table of any kind that we're waiting on in order for us to be healed. Everything is already accomplished. We're already healed. As far as healing being accomplished, it's a matter of us receiving what Jesus has done for us. Now, if you have any doubts what I'm saying about God wanting you healed, turn back with me. Let's look at a couple of verses in Psalms 103. We want to make sure that we know for a fact that sickness and disease is of the devil. It certainly is not God trying to teach us anything. That's foolishness. Teach you something by making you sick. And that's how your Heavenly Father is. I even cringe saying that because it's so stupid. It is just so stupid. Anybody that believes your Heavenly Father, who loves you so much, he sent Jesus to the cross to die for you, to redeem you from spiritual death, he would do all that and then make you sick. That's just hard that somebody could be that stupid. But that, unfortunately, there are people that way. So let's look here at Psalm 103, beginning of verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now we're going to hear what those benefits are. Who forgives all thine iniquities. Now thank God for that. Thank God he heals all forgives all of our iniquities. Forgiveth all thine iniquities. Thank God. Thank God that our iniquities are forgiven, all of them. Thank you, Jesus. When we sin, we go to we go to the Lord and we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Now, does it say half of our diseases? Some of our diseases. Only the cold and flu, but not the hard ones. Not heart disease or cancer. That's too difficult for God. Isn't that foolish? He heals all of our diseases, forgives all of our iniquities, and healeth all of our diseases. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All of them. Diabetes, you know, cancer of all kinds, heart disease, high blood pressure, you name it, you're healed of it. Mark even the hard ones. How about schizophrenia? How about Lyme's disease? Well, I know for a fact I've been healed from Lyme's disease. I know. See, I've been healed. I have seen healing manifest in my body where I was sick, and then the sickness is gone. I know what I'm talking about. And this isn't something that I'm speaking theoretically. This is something that I live. If pain comes in my body, I don't, you know, and I say this not out of spiritual pride or anything else or any other kind of pride. I say this factually. When sickness or pain comes in my body, I do not run to the doctor or anybody else to try to get healed. I go to God's Word. And I confess His word. And I confess it over my body. And I command my body to be made whole. According to Mark 11:23-24. Hold your place there in Psalm. Let's just look at Mark 11:23-24. I'm sure you're very familiar with this if you've been in church any period of time. But it's always good to look at it. Mark 11:23-24. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God, as any one of those is a correct rendition of that. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. When do you believe you receive them? When you pray. When you pray. See, a lot of people want to pray for healing of their body and then believe it once it shows up, and that's not the way it works. You have to believe that you receive your healing when you pray. You speak to the mountain, verse 23, to be removed. Something comes up in your body, some symptom in your body, speak to it. Get out of my body. Be removed. Be cast into the sea. I do not doubt in my heart. I believe those things I say come to pass. I shall have whatever I say. Symptom, you cannot stay in my body. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When you pray. So you got a pain or something in your body. You know, you look at the clock, it's 8:23, it's some day in October, I don't know what the date is, but on this day at 8:23, Father, I believe that I receive my healing from this. Thank you, Father, I have it in Jesus' name, according to Mark 11:24, I believe I receive it. Now, you walk away and your body's trying to tell you there's no difference at all. There's a symptom is still there. What are you going to do? I'm going to thank God that I believe I received my healing. Thank you, Father. Body, you line up with the truth. You can't continue to stay sick, body, because I have received my healing. And that's your confession. And that's what you stick with. And you don't change. You don't waver. And it takes place in your body. It manifests in your body. Healing comes. Healing fills your body. And you're made whole. Now, when does it happen, Mark? When you believe. See, there's a part that we have to play. And that part is, we believe. We have to believe. We have to believe that we receive it. We're going to have to stand in faith and say, I thank you, Father. I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. So one of the things that was, you know, that the Lord was impressing on my heart was the importance of the thoughts in our mind, the importance of how we see ourselves. And let's just go back. There was one other verse in Psalm that I wanted to look at, and that was Psalm 107, verse 20. And this is, once again, just to establish the fact that God wants you healed. God's done everything for you to be healed. In verse 20, it says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent His word and He healed me. That's what I say. He sent His word and He healed me and delivered me from my destruction. He sent His word. Thank God He sent His word and He healed me. Healing is an accomplished fact. Healing, the price for our healing, the price for wholeness, for the wholeness of our body was paid for at the cross. Jesus paid the price for us to be made whole. And it's up to us to receive it just the same way we received our salvation. We have to receive our healing by faith, believing that we are redeemed, that we are delivered, believing 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes we are healed. We were healed and we are healed. Glory to God. So as I was saying, there's an important point to be made regarding how we think, how we see ourselves when we are suffering with symptoms in our body. How do we see ourselves? Because if you see yourself as a sick person trying to get healed, you have an uphill battle. I'm going to tell you right now, you have an uphill battle. You've got to change that image on the inside of you to where you see yourself not the way you are, but the way your Heavenly Father sees you. Because, you know, there's a verse in Proverbs 23, verse 7, and it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As you think in your heart, that is the way that you are. Do you see yourself sick? Do you see yourself as someone that's constantly battling with disease? Or do you see yourself healed? Do you see yourself the way your Heavenly Father sees you, victorious, healed? Do you have that image on the inside of you? Paul talked about this, the importance of our thoughts and our imagination and how we see ourselves. And he did this in the 2 Corinthians chapter 10. he was talking here about the thoughts of our mind. Look at these words here. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing, look at these words, into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, I tell you what, that's important. What are the dominant thoughts in your mind? What is the picture that you have of yourself on the inside of you? Is it a picture of a sick person? Is that how you see yourself? Are you meditating on the thoughts that are being fed to you by Satan, by his demons, telling you you're sick, you're sick, you're sick, getting you to question what those pains are in your body, you know, getting you to question, why is this happening? What is this thing going wrong in my body? And what's the focus of your attention when you're doing that? You're focused on the problem. You're magnifying that problem. That problem is bigger than God in your mind if you're so focused on it. You got to get your attention focus off of the symptoms, off of the problem, because as long as you're focused and you're magnifying that problem, you're going to have that problem. It's going to be a mountain that is insurmountable in your mind. You won't be able to see beyond it. It'll be in every waking thought that you have. Everything that you do in your life, you're going to plan around this problem, this symptom in your body. You can't be that way. You can't let your thoughts rule you and dominate you, or you will continue to manifest that problem and it won't change. And you may go to God and beg God to get it off of you, but the truth of the matter is he already got it off of you. You say, Mark, no, he didn't. You don't know what you're talking about. Yes, he did. He got it off of you at Calvary. Now, it's our responsibility to receive, just like we receive salvation by faith. We are responsible now to receive the deliverance from the oppression of the enemy. Receive that healing. Receive it by faith. Believe that it's yours. Confess that it's yours. Command the mountain of symptoms to leave your body and see yourself on the inside of you as healed, doing the things that are impossible for you to do because of whatever the symptoms are. See yourself doing them. See yourself healed and running and jumping and playing and whatever it is. Because as long as you see yourself sick and defeated, and you know, those images always seem to go in that negative direction. You know, the symptoms, you see them progressing. If you're not exerting any spiritual force against it, all you see in your imagination is those symptoms getting worse and worse, and it goes from a hangnail to your legs getting cut off, and then you're dead. I mean, it always seems to go in that negative downward spiral, and it ultimately always leads you to death. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants you to accept your own defeat. When all the time, you're victorious. All the time, you're healed. You're healed every time. See, when you're questioning what I'm saying right there, it's because you don't know what Jesus has already done for you. You don't have a living reality that by His stripes you were healed and you are healed now. You don't have a living reality of your redemption, that you're redeemed from the curse. In Jesus, He bore the stripes for you. He paid the price for your redemption. So that nothing the enemy has, nothing that he has is legally allowed to stay in your body. Now, if it's there, it's a trespasser, and you have the right and the responsibility and the obligation to get it out, get rid of it, command it, leave me now. See, it doesn't just happen. And you can't just run to God. God, please get the devil off my back. See, Paul, you know, we were looking there in the 10th chapter, 2 Corinthians. If you go over two chapters, Paul dealt with this idea of running to God for relief from the attack of Satan. He deals with this in verse 7 is where it kind of begins here in chapter 12, chapter 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of my revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So clearly, Satan sent a messenger to buffet Paul. And this buffeting, I'm sure it was not pleasant. I'm sure it was grievous. Whatever the form it took, you know, maybe he's referring to what he described in the 11th chapter, just one chapter before, where he talks about the beatings, the stonings, the shipwrecks, all the things that's happened. I can't tell you if that's truly the case, but whatever the case, a messenger of Satan was sent to him to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure for this thing. Look at this. I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. So Paul went to God three times asking him to get the devil off of his back. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. He didn't say it was insufficient. He said it is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. Glory to God. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Thank you, Jesus. When I am weak, He is strong in me. So, Father, I just thank you right now that where I am weak, you're strong. I thank you that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I thank you, Father, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Hallelujah. And I'm not asking you to get the devil off my back. You've already done it. And I am thanking you that he is gone from me. In Jesus' name, I am healed. I am redeemed. Thank you, Jesus. See, you can't run to our Father and beg Him to do something that He's already done for us in Jesus. He's already done it. He's already taken care of Satan. He's already destroyed all the works of the enemy in Jesus. It's already done. Where we have fallen short is enforcing what Jesus has done for us. That's all it is. We have lacked in the area of enforcing it, because we listen to the devil telling us you know, baiting us, telling us that, you know, how sick we are, you know, and how, you know, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse, and eventually it's going to kill us. And we sit and listen to that trash instead of just stopping and just thanking the Lord that I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, you're my healer. Thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes I'm healed and made whole. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I am healed. I am healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. Hallelujah. So, going back to this, the importance of how we see ourselves. How you see yourself. Do you see yourself sick? Do you see yourself as being, you know, you see your body deteriorating? Do you see your, you have a little heart palpitation or something. And the next thing you know, you see yourself with a full-blown heart attack. Oh, give me a break. So many different things people deal with. And I, don't get me wrong, it's not that I'm not sympathetic or empathetic to the challenges that we face in our physical body. It's not that. It's just the fact that we run to God to try to get Him to do something for us. And all the while, He already has done it. And it's like this vicious cycle. It's like a catch-22. You're going to Him and asking Him, and, you know, heal me, heal me. And He already has healed you. All you have to do is receive it. Now, you know, I say all you have to do is receive it. There's a lot in that statement. Receiving it is, there's a challenge. You know, depending on, you know, have you experienced healing in your body before? Are you starting out with trying to receive for a lifelong debilitating disease? Or are you starting out with a head cold? Does it make a difference, Mark? Well, yeah, it does make a difference. Not to God, not to anybody else, but to you. You got to start somewhere. And first thing I would do if I were you and you haven't ever received healing before, start out, you know, if you've got symptoms of a cold, stand and believe and receive your healing for it. If you have symptoms in your body from the flu, receive healing. Receive your healing. I have, last time that flu trash tried to get on my body, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was in bed, you know, I think I even had a coat on or something, and I was, because I had the chills so bad. You know how you get the chills when you got the flu? And I had the chills, and I had gotten in bed and turned the heating blanket on and had my coat on. Felt so bad sitting there shivering and so just shaking so much that my jaws, my teeth were chattering. I mean, it was a mess. And there's something about it. When you have those kind of symptoms, you just want to curl up in a ball and just go to sleep. You know, just go to sleep. Just curl up in a ball and not fight, not make a stand. Don't, you know, just, let's just try to get through this. Well, that, you know, I had kind of done that up to a certain point, and then finally I got a hold of myself and I made my confession of faith according to Mark 11:24. I believe I received my healing. And I have you know that within just a matter of minutes, and I am not exaggerating, within a matter of minutes, the chills just left me. I'm telling you, it was like from 1 minute to the next, from 1 second to the next. 1 second, I have these symptoms, and the next, they're gone. Glory to God. That wasn't the first time I had received healing. I've received healing for different things for years. And the funny thing is, I guess it really isn't funny, but as I look back, you know, up until that point that I had made my stand of faith, I was giving in to the symptoms. As long as you give in to that stuff, it's going to stay with you. You just mark my words, it'll be right there with you until you make your stand of faith, until you mark a line in the sand and say, no, I'm not, you're not going any farther, this is it. And once you do that, you know, it's just a matter of time. So, and again, this for the person that's hearing me that has, you know, a lifelong debilitating disease, you know, you're going to have to start somewhere. If you haven't yet started, you're going to have to start somewhere. And I always recommend that you start out with something smaller and you work your way up. And it's a, you know, you do what you have to do. But if I were you and I was, you know, going to start this road, I would start out with something that was smaller, and as I saw success, I'd continue to make strides in that direction, and before you know it, you're going to be making your stand of faith for whatever that debilitating disease is. But I believe it's really important to see the success, to have those smaller successes, and to be able to remind yourself of those successes. I look back and I remind myself of the time that I got healed from Lyme's disease. I remind myself of the time that I was healed from the chronic dry eye, which was so painful. And it was, that was debilitating, because it was chronic. It wouldn't go away. It seemingly was growing worse all the time. And I kept having to go to the doctor. But when I made my stand of faith, I put this in my pocket this evening. I had this little bottle of eye drops. I've had this little bottle of eye drops, I don't know, probably 6 months. I went through one of these little bottles of eye drops whenever I had the chronic dry eye. I went through these probably once a week. I'd go through one of these. I was putting drops in my eye I'll just constantly throughout the day, because they were so dry and they hurt so bad, and the outside layer would just rip right off. There's a outside layer that's on the outside of your eyeball, and when it gets so dry, it will just tear off, and then another one will reform. But the problem was that before it had a chance to anchor itself into my eyeball, it was ripping off again, and it was a constant problem. And when that ripped off, it was so painful. And the doctor's diagnosis was that, you know, if we can't stop this cycle, you know, eventually it will cause you to go blind. And now that's not, I don't care who you are, that is not what you want to hear. And you're going to the doctor, you know, once a week to the eye doctor to try to get some relief from this. And it's gone on now for like 6 months. And it was horrible, and I hated it. And I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. I was at a conference. A friend of mine was preaching, and he had a word of knowledge. The word was tear ducts, and he was standing about 10 feet away from me. He had no idea what I was dealing with, what my symptoms were. He had no idea that the problem was in my tear ducts. And I remember him making the comment. He said, "I don't remember ever having a word of knowledge like that before, tear ducts." And when he said it, I knew instantly that was for me. And I stood up and I walked over. He laid hands on me, prayed for me, and instantly I was healed from chronic dry eye. I mean, the symptoms were gone, just gone. And the unfortunate thing was that I didn't have enough wherewithal to get on my own faith legs, if you will, and believe for my healing. I lived on that man's faith for about 3 months. And after that 3 month period, those symptoms returned and they were worse than before. And I could not understand how in the world are these symptoms back again. And then I realized I was living on that man's faith and not my own. I had done nothing to build my faith to receive that miracle. And now I had an uphill battle. Because I had been healed, I knew that it was for me, but I had to believe it. So I started out Mark 11:23-24. I wrote down a date and time, believed I received my healing, and I think it was, I'm going to say about 2 or 3 weeks. It may have been a little bit longer. Before the manifestation came and I received my healing, and my eyes were healed. And now, whereas I had to carry one of these bottles of eye drops all the time. I had these that I had to use. I had there's a pharmaceutical drug now that they have. It's very popular for dry eye. I had to take that. Just a whole litany of things I was doing. And I remember having purchased one of these bottles of eye drops, had it in my pocket, and it was like, I'm trying to remember how it was. It was maybe 2 or 3 weeks went by, and I realized, hey, I'm not using these anymore. And then I just kept putting the bottle in my pocket because I was just out of habit. I always had to have it with me. And that same bottle, I just had it for week after week after week. And finally, I just took it out because I didn't need it anymore. Thank God. Why didn't I need it? Because the healing came. The healing manifested in my body. I had it. And it wasn't on somebody else's faith. It was my faith believing that I received it. So I go back and I remember the Lyme's disease that I was delivered from. I remember the chronic dry. I remember the times when I've had the flu and the times that I've had these other problems and I've received healing in it. And I can refresh myself and encourage myself in realizing, hey, if I received it then no matter what I'm faced with, I know that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Body, you listen to me. You are not going to manifest sickness anymore. You're healed. You're healed. Do you hear me, body? You're healed. And talk to your body. Tell it it's healed. But I was wanting to get to the woman with the issue of blood. I tell you, I'm just going to touch on this very quickly. Matthew has the account of it in chapter 9. Mark has the account of it in Mark chapter 5, and that's the one that I'm going to use right now. Mark chapter 5. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she's the one that came in the press behind when Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. Verse 25 of Mark 5, a certain woman with an issue of blood, which had an issue of blood for 12 years. You talk about having, to fight the image inside of you of sickness and disease. 12 years this woman dealt with this sickness in her body and had suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I tell you what, you talk about a position, a situation that for all practical purposes would seem to be just impossible. Why? Because when you dealt with something for that long, that image inside of you is, you're not just sick in your body, but I mean that sickness is in your mind. You see yourself sick. You dream in your dreams. You're sick. Every part of your life is trying to deal with the sickness. And this woman had done this for 12 years and spent all her money, and had been treated by many physicians and was none the better, but rather grew worse when she had heard. Verse 27, of Jesus came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I'm telling you, that is faith talking. That's somebody that, that has faith working on the inside of them, and they see themselves whole, even after 12 years. And all of the horrible things this woman has probably been through, and yet she can say, if I just touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, be whole of thy plague. Thy faith. Do you see that? It was her faith. Her faith. And she reached out and she saw in herself, if I can just reach out and touch his garment, I see myself getting healed. Glory to God. How do you see yourself on the inside? What's the image on the inside of you? Are you a sick person? And you're struggling trying to get healed? Or are you healed? Because that is an accomplished fact by Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And this symptom in your body is a trespasser. Is that how you see yourself? Because then you speak to it and you command it to get out. Because you are the healed. You're not the sick. Trying to get healed. You are the healed, and sickness is trying to trespass in your body. Glory to God. How you see yourself? How do you see yourself? See yourself victorious. Glory to God. I tell you what, I feel great. I feel great. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth. And by Jesus' stripes, we were healed and we are healed. That's the truth. Symptoms can't stay in our bodies. It has no right. It has no legal right. And I pray for every person watching this, no matter what it is that you're struggling with, believe right now, receive your healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Receive your healing. Thank God for it.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you would like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.